devotion to the Blessed Mother. And so one of the popular feast days was Mothering Day. Now this is the first time we have Mother's Day, or close to it. Mothering Day was because the rich people all moved into the big cities at this time. They, in fact, they created the big cities like London, etc., etc. They had to bring all the country people with them, or the ones that served them, the ones that were part of their household servants. But they had one thing, they left their mothers and fathers behind and went into the big city. But every Lent, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, Gaudete Sunday, they allowed all their help to return to the country and visit their mothers and to spend the whole day with them, probably the only day they got off. And so it happened that Mothering Day was the first time we hear about Mother's Day. The American, of course, many of those who settled in the United States were from England, or the British Isles, and so Mothering Day they did not bring with them, largely because those who came from England were usually leaving England because they felt they were not appreciated there. There were certain members of certain groups, and they were looking for a land where they would be free of kings and queens, and so they settled in America. But what did happen was the Civil War, when it broke out. Now, the Civil War was around 1860s. And you can't imagine how terrible the Civil War was, because first of all, it was fratricide. It was killing your brothers and sisters, but mostly your brothers. You sent all your men out to battle, and you sent your young men from 16 on, and even some 14 and less, and then you waited for the great battle, and so many didn't return. It was the United States lost more soldiers in the Civil War than every war since then up to now in their whole history. And it was a savage war. And so the end of it, people trying to, through the rubble and destruction of cities and towns and areas, they tried to build a new world. Of course, the squid was terrible, and it hung in the air like a foul odor. There was the North and the South. And then one lady, whose name you probably are familiar with, Julia Ward Howe. Julia Ward Howe wrote the lyrics for the most famous song to come out of the Civil War, which is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. This was her. But later on, she began to gather women who had no rights, or they couldn't vote, and she began to gather them together. And their one idea was Mother's Day for peace. She was anti-war, and so were all the women that she gathered together, because most of them had lost husbands. They had lost their only children. They suffered greatly, and those who were with them suffered greatly. And so it was that this movement became very, very strong, and its idea was anti-war, and they would organize against the government that would allow their grandchildren to be slaughtered at the next terrible war. Now this movement was very, very strong, as you can imagine. It grew out of the pain and sorrow and loss of a terrible, terrible time for a still young country. They made at that time the first proclamation, this group, and they made a proclamation of Mothers for Peace. No more wars. We're not sending our children out anymore. Well, this met with approval, but not so much approval, because, as you know, some felt that this was a radical idea. No wars, all pacifists, etc., etc. So there, it had great success and popularity, but it had great arguments against it. At the same time, however, there was another woman from the South, from West Virginia. Her name was Anna Reeves. And she started a Mother's Friendship. which became a Mother's Friendship Day. But it wasn't just a day. She gathered women, and their aims were reconciliation between East and West. And they felt that the women could do this better than the men, that they could reconcile the North with the South. And they were organized for social services. This is important now. Social services, not religious purposes. They all came from basically Christian religions, but it was for social services. And they went to these burnt out areas all through the South and the North, where there was all kinds of difficulties, but mainly the people were dying from the destruction and the garbage and the filth and the destruction of whole areas at times. So they began to teach women how to deal with that kind of crisis. So it was really the first social service that the United States government got involved in, although they didn't get involved in it, but Anna Reeves and these women, and they grew very powerful. What they used to do is train the mothers now, how to be nurses, how to take care of the food, how to live in a world that had so much destruction and poison and misery in it. And they became very effective social service workers, medical services, nursing, caring for depressed and despised people. And this is, they would have their day. See, this was not just a day, but it was a woman's day. It was a mother's day. And lo and behold, after that, the daughter of Anna Reeves, whose name was Anna Jarvis, spent her whole time. She actually went to a seminary. Now, a seminary was a woman's college in those days. And when she graduated, she took up her mother's cause, and now we're very, very women in the 1900s. And when she took up this cause, she dedicated her whole life to it. The nice thing about this is she is the one who called her movement Mother's Day. And that's what she went about. She wanted to create a day, a Mother's Day, a day that would be anti-war, a day that where women could get together and discuss their needs, their social needs. And it became very, very, so very popular that Woodrow Wilson, who was the president of the United States in 1914, finally was convinced that he would declare the United States would have a National Mother's Day. And this is part of what it was like. The ideals were rooted in religious faith, belief in God, because it was the Judeo-Christian tradition all these people came from. It was respect for motherhood, not women, of course, that could be taken for granted, but with special care for motherhood, because they were the ones who suffered from the Great War, mostly. It was to be full of social action, anti-war, promote social action, and social action mainly for the support of families. So it was the first social service. But the ringing spirit behind it all was the original one by the one who started the movement for Mother's Day for peace. It was peace that would be the goal. Now, I'm going to see if I can find it here. But it was basically, the president said this, Mother's Day for the public expression of love and of reverence for all mothers of our nation. That was in 1914. By 1920, one-third of the whole world had begun, if they didn't already have one, instituted a Mother's Day. All of Canada, all the way down through South America, and even over to Asia. Sambat, you know Sambat? That originated during the same period. It's the 3/8, the anniversary every year that we celebrate Mother's Day and Women's Day. Now, what happened very quickly, and this kind of broke the heart of Anna Jarvis, got commercialized. It became sort of a time when chocolates were given and flowers were sold and restaurants did a great business. Now, it didn't spoil it, but it kind of disappointed Anna Jarvis because she was for freedom and peace for the whole world that would come out of this. But it kind of put a little tinge in it. And it began to lose its dedication to anti-war and social services and all of these things. But not entirely, not entirely. But 4 years later, when President Wilson declared Mother's Day, 4 years later, the worst of all wars happened, the First World War, that wiped out so many young people in all across Europe and other places. And it took another generation to go back to these original principles and say, no, we must create a world of peace, integrity, where mothers are held sacred. I'm going to end this now. You probably didn't put two and two together, but originally it started out as a peace movement, and then it concentrated on motherhood. Remember these two things, peace and motherhood, because they're closely connected. And now I'll read you what Jesus says, yes? Today, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will dwell with him. We will dwell, we will be with him. And then Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Jesus' peace is self-sacrificing love. I have come to be with you, to teach you how to love, to teach you how to care, to teach you how to sacrifice. And if there's any picture that we all are familiar with, when we think of peace for the whole world, if we're religious people, it's Christmas. The Blessed Mother holding the little child, who is the hope and salvation of the whole world, and her commitment was a mother's love, a self-sacrificing love, a new hope, a new joy, and a world fit for bringing in children that they might understand the love of God. So today we're going to ask all the mothers to stand up. I think if I can find this, we have a special blessing for you. Woodrow Wilson's message, remember, he said, for all the mothers, those who are living and those who have passed away. And so today we want to remember them in this blessing as well. Let us pray. Holy God, you compare your own love for your people to the love of a mother for her children. Look with kindness on these mothers. Give them comfort in moments of sorrow. Give them joy in their work with their families. Listen to their prayers and bless them in all they do for you. Let them share with Jesus, your son, and with Mary, your mother, in the everlasting happiness of heaven. We ask this grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may his blessing be upon you all, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God, Father, Maker.